In the name of God, who creates us, redeems us, and inspires us. Amen. We did not read a part of the gospel that's in the middle of the text we just heard tonight, so let me read it now, and it's from the Revised Standard Version instead of the New Revised, which we just heard. One of the disciples, whom Jesus loved, was lying close to the breast of Jesus. So Simon Peter beckoned to him and said, "Tell us who it is of whom he speaks." So lying thus, close to the breast of Jesus, he said to him, "Lord, who is it?" The context is that at the Last Supper, after Jesus had washed their feet, he told them that one of them was about to betray him, and the disciples wanted to know who it was. And then Jesus dips the morsel of bread and gives it to Judas. There is a teaching from the Celtic Christian tradition about the Last Supper from this part of the story. It's about the beloved disciple, many think it's John, who reclines next to Jesus and leans on his chest. The Celtic Christians have this wonderful memory of John the Beloved leaning against Jesus. And it was said of John that he leaned on Jesus's chest and therefore he heard the heartbeat of God. John became a symbol for the practicing of deep listening within ourselves, within one another, within the earth, and within God. Celtic theologian John Philip Newell once wrote that to listen for the heartbeat of God is to listen both within the vastness of the universe and within the intimacy of our own hearts. This is Maundy Thursday, the first day of what we call the Triduum, or the space of 3 days. Maundy comes from the Latin mandatum novum, or new commandment. And in this oldest observance peculiar to Holy Week, we commemorate the institution of the Eucharist, "Do this in remembrance of me," and Jesus' new commandment, "Love one another as I have loved you." And we enter into these 3 sacred days during this most holy week as we walk through it with Jesus. And tonight we hear of Jesus' last meal with his disciples and of his loving commandments to us. If we listen deeply, we can hear many echoes of God and the story of God's people. God's heart goes beat, 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 and we listen and remember. We remember the story of the Exodus when the Hebrews escaped slavery in Egypt. We remember when God told them to slaughter a lamb for each family and to put some of the blood on the doorposts of each house, then to roast the lamb and eat it with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. When God would see the blood on the doorposts, God would pass over those houses, so they would not be destroyed by the plague about to strike Egypt, of each firstborn being killed. They were to remember that day when they were delivered out of the land of Egypt and observe it forever. God's heart beats with the memory of Passover. We remember Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. On that night before the feast of the Passover, he was in the upper room with them having supper. Jesus knew his hour had come. We imagine the scene in that room, all the disciples reclining for this supper around Jesus. The atmosphere was heavy with fear and anticipation as they did not know what was coming. There were echoes of denial and betrayal, like they wouldn't believe, even if he told them, which he did. Then the disciples heard the first mandatum. On that night he was to be betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And as often as we do this, and we are doing it again tonight, we proclaim Jesus' death and resurrection. Eat this bread and drink this cup, and we will never be hungry or thirsty. We will abide in Jesus and he in us. And we hear the murmurs of the Exodus and listen for our own redemption. God's heart beats with the memory of the Eucharist. We remember that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Dr. Gail O'Day calls this washing the embodied sacrament of friendship, an act of hospitality that makes his love visible. We can imagine the disciples wondering just what Jesus was doing when he got up from the table and took off his outer robe, tied a towel around himself. He poured water into a basin and began to wash their tired, dusty, calloused feet and wipe them with a towel. And you know, Peter has that funny conversation with Jesus about never washing his feet, but then wants Jesus to wash every part of him, his hands and his head too. There were the faint reverberations of God being glorified in the Son of Man and of Jesus setting an example for them. If Jesus, as teacher and Lord, has washed their feet, they also ought to wash one another's feet. Jesus washed their feet just like a servant would have, so they should also serve others. Then the disciples heard the second mandatum. "I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." Jesus has loved them without limits or conditions. After all, he knew Judas's heart, and he still ate supper with him and got down on his knees and washed his feet. And now they, and we too, must do the same with others. Jesus was about to suffer and die for them, so they also may have to suffer and lay down their lives for others. And we too, perhaps. God's heart beats with the memory of having loved us in this world and of loving us forever. I believe that in addition to remembering the stories and Jesus' loving instructions on how to show love, we are invited to listen carefully for the heartbeat of God. God has planted the sound of love deep within us, and we are to be still and to listen, to hear what it means for each one of us. Perhaps we will hear the heartbeat of God in the foot washing tonight or in the Eucharist. Perhaps we will hear it in the silence of stripping the altar while Psalm 22 is chanted, or in the final reading in the darkness that will speak of denial and betrayal, of sleeping disciples, and of Jesus praying that he wouldn't have to go through with all of it. Perhaps we will hear it in the agony of Good Friday and in the last words and breath of Jesus on the cross. Perhaps we will hear it in the silence of the sealed tomb on Holy Saturday, or in the amazement of the disciples when they realized that the stone had been rolled away. When we listen, we can be profoundly transformed as we hear the story over and over again, as we hear God going beat, 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 as we hear of second chances and of resurrection. And we can pass the sound and light of new life onto others. We are invited to listen closely for God's heartbeat in what goes on in the next few days, in ourselves and in those around us. As someone once wrote, to listen closely for all the passions, deaths, and resurrections in our lives, in our homes, around our tables, under the clouds and sun, in hospitals, shops, and churches. This is the Paschal Mystery writ small in lowercase letters across the individual history and in the heartbeats of every child of God. May each of us, in this moment of grace and during this holy time, hear the heartbeat of God and experience the sound of love that is so amazing and so divine. Amen.